Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. You know, on these broadcasts, we talk to lots of different people who are in different professions, who are in different businesses. Some are entertainers, some are business executives, a lot of coaches who help people. We really do deal heavily with talking to a lot of people who help others in their life's work. Some of them have started very late in the road of helping others. Some, of course, start very early. Today we have someone really unique. I think you're going to find it fascinating, and you may not have any idea. Sorry, phone rang there. Any idea of what we're about to talk about, but in any event, we are going to talk to an artist who is admittedly an energy medicine practitioner, but she's also a shaman. Her name is Janet Stanley, and she's in Ontario in Canada. And when I heard the term shaman, I really had to look it up because I don't think I've ever interviewed anyone on the subject of shamanism. You may be very familiar with it. You may not. My assumption is the majority of us really don't know a whole lot about it. So I looked in the dictionary to see what shamanism was. And this is interesting, and I'm going to get Janet to respond in a minute. But anyway, the dictionary described shamanism, or a shaman, as a person regarded to having access to and influence in the world of good and evil spirits, especially among some peoples of Northern Asia and Northern America. Typically, such people enter into a trance state during a ritual and practice divination and healing. Well, that's what the dictionary says a shaman is. I'm going to bring on our guest because we're going to get into a deep discussion on this whole subject. But Janet Stanley is a lovely lady, and she's learning about this as we go along. And Janet is on the line with us now, again, from Ontario in Canada. Janet, good afternoon. How are you? It's lovely to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Doug. I'm delighted to be here.
You heard that definition from the dictionary?
I did.
Is that anywhere near what you're doing, or does it involve that?
Well,
am I
you
right
know,
or wrong?
That's an accurate enough definition. Shamanism is a way of life. It's an experiential way of living, of honoring the earth and all the elements and all of life, nature, people, animals, stones, fire, water, air, all of it. So it's really... It can be expressed in different ways. The way that I have learned to access the unseen world, which your definition references, so energy is neutral, so it can be used however, it's about our intentions and how we access it. And I think we're all accessing it all the time, whether we know it or not, and whether we're conscious about it. For me, where I became conscious of the field of the unseen world, the field of what I call and what I really have come to coin the phrase pure potentiality, was when I started actively pursuing art and became a painter. So for me, it's the field where everything exists before it becomes form. So we visit that when we dream. When we daydream, whether it's lucid dreaming or night dreaming, and we certainly visit it when we're creating, and it's also where all healing happens, in my experience. So everyone will probably talk about that differently and use a different kind of reference point, but that's the one I come from.
All right. Well, it's interesting. I must admit I don't understand all of this, but let's step back a little bit and look at your life and how you got into this, because I know you spent you know, 25 years of your life in the corporate arena, in the marketing arena, with big business. And then at some point you decided to change. There was something in life you weren't getting, and you wanted to do something really different. And as you told me just a little while ago, you quit and went to art school to learn art. Is that
I
right?
I did. I've been doing some writing lately, which has helped me to kind of look back and get a long view of the path that got me here, which has been very windy and full of bumps and also full of grace. So it's been both. I could step back just even a little bit further than that and let you know that I ended up in corporate marketing and that whole arena kind of by accident, kind of by I lost my dad when I was only 15. He had a heart attack one day very suddenly. He was only 37. So that was kind of a milestone that shook up my world. And I have six brothers and sisters, so it shook us all up, my mom too. Imagine having seven children on your own. So
yeah.
There was that. Terrible. And then within 10 years, I was married and married very young and lost my first daughter. She had heart disease. So a second big tumultuous volcanic kind of catastrophe that made me want to move out of the social work that I had been in into what felt to me like a cleaner world. The corporate world felt to me like numbers and business planning seemed much more manageable. So ironically, I got into the business world kind of seeking solace from the trauma of being at sick kids for 4 years and seeing children die and the emotional part of that. So for me at first, the corporate world was a really good playground. I could be creative and learn to build brands, which were kind of like children, and work with teams and be on management teams. And it was all really good for a while. And it certainly helped me to feed my family and to feel like I had independence and a little bit of control. But what kept happening over the years was there'd be these little mini breakdowns every year, every few months around. It just wasn't enough. And at one point I got to bring my husband on a business trip to Jasper, and it was beautiful, and he got to be the spouse. And so he got given the program around, how to keep the spouses busy while the business people were out doing all the real work kind of thing. And he and I have to tell you, did I ever have to face a little bit of shadow in me, because I was so jealous that he was offered to go to painting workshops and, poetry readings and things like
right.
that. And here I had to go into the war room and plan kind of thing. And so, I mean, there were many, many clues for me that I was not being fulfilled in the life that I was leading. And, so eventually, we talked about it. We'd have these little meltdowns. And, to circle back, my husband didn't go on any of those painting things. He went hiking instead. But it was more what was happening to me that was the clue. And so I finally, we talked a lot and got the courage to reorganize our lives. And so I quit. And
was he working?
He was working. He stayed home for the first 5 years when our daughter was born.
Okay.
So I have a second daughter and a son as well, both adults now and grandchildren and all of that. But at the time, I had gotten into the business world with only a grade 12 education, which is really unusual. So I was working with MBAs and working with people with big education and credentials, and always being promoted. So when our daughter came along, it was a decision point, and I thought it was wise for me to stay working because I didn't have as much education to fall back on. But
right.
then
well,
that
let,
becomes
let me,
a bit...
Mm-hmm. Let me interrupt you a minute because time is ticking away. I want to get into
yes.
what you're doing here. I understand. Then you quit work. And
I quit work, yes.
When you quit work, you decided you wanted to become an artist. And you literally went to art school. Was that right?
I did.
The way that happened?
Absolutely. I thought I wanted to be a writer, but then I took a little painting class because I thought it was kind of the most indulgent thing I could do, and then I never really looked back. I knew that there was some magic in painting for me, in the expression, in the freedom of being able to, I surprised myself and became an abstract painter. So I wanted to go. I had always had a longing to go to school, and I went back and did that. And it took me 7 years to do the four-year program because I did it part-time. And I funded it by taking some consulting work. So, you know.
Where does that fit into what you're doing now? You really have another career going for you, whether you're aware of it or not, you do.
It's all kind of been weaving together. The paintings became, they had a lot of imagery because they were abstract. And I began showing in galleries in Toronto and sitting my own shows and engaging with people looking at them. And it just became very, very clear over a period of time that they were pointing to what I would now call shamanic imagery. Didn't have that language then at all. They were very mysterious to me. But they were about transformation. They were about things morphing from one thing into another. I would say they were about alchemy, the process of change. And so as I learned about transformation through my work, so my work taught me, my paintings taught me, by looking at them and engaging with them and talking to other people about them, I all of a sudden found myself face-to-face with a group of people who were going to shaman school. And that's what they call the Four Winds training at the time, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not really. It's the Four Winds Society is being touted as the Harvard of New Age shamanism, so it was a good place to go. And I knew that if I was, I actually couldn't resist going. It was, you know, when you get to that place where you can't not do it, that's where I was at, because I just started showing my work in a more serious way, got a little Globe and Mail review, felt like things were blossoming for me in the art world. So partly the call to shamanism was an interruption. It felt, I was almost annoyed, like, wait, I'm just doing this. Why do I have to go do that? But the call was really, really strong. And I think that there are times in our lives where we get to the place where we just know what we have to do. And so off I went, and it was a transformational experience. And I, you know, it led me back to understanding my paintings better, which led me back to the study, and it was kind of a big circle for a while.
Wow. Tell me, let me interrupt you and ask you,
yes.
What is shaman school? What do you do in shaman school?
In the way that I experienced it, which is the only way I can speak to, we worked through the medicine wheel from an Andean tradition. So the teachings that I was exposed to came through the Peruvian Andean shamanism. And it's about working through all of your personal stuff, your stories you tell yourself, busting a bunch of beliefs about what is and isn't true, stepping outside of roles like that you've let define you, like whether you're an, you know, whether you're defined by being a marketing manager or mogul or a even an artist has an identity attached to it, and learning that really we aren't any of those roles at all, that we're something much deeper and much more lasting and universal than that, and also being able to recognize that in every other living being, including the plants and the mountains and the elements. So it helps you step back and take kind of a global view of things that's also very intimately aware of the connection to all of life.
I wish I knew could understand totally what you're explaining to me here. It's just
okay.
Kind of out there. You
Maybe
know?
I'm not it's explaining
out
it
there,
very
yeah.
Well, you know, at its simplest form, it's just living a life that honors all of life. That's its simplest form. And it's becoming a conscious co-creator, and I think those are buzzwords that are out there right now, understanding that we are participating in how life unfolds around us, and that's empowering because that means we're not victims of circumstance or random acts, that we are actually participating in how life unfolds for us, and that we can heal ourselves, and when we do that, it affects everyone around us. It changes the dance of our relationships with our families and our coworkers and our communities and really at large with the world.
Define for me, because I know that you're into the arena. You're a transformational energy. What is that? Transformational energy weaver.
Energy weaver, sure. It's a
You're an energy weaver.
Probably,
yeah. What is that?
It's an unnecessarily mysterious label that I should probably change at some point. But for me, and I worked hard at coming up with that too. So there you go.
Okay.
This goes to show you that things are always in transition. But for me, it's because my work is really about personal transformation and expansion. And it's my journey's been through creativity. So at the end of the day, it's no surprise that that's the kind of people that I work with, people who are at a place where they're ready to expand themselves. Now, you know, transformation is kind of the sexy word for change. It's change is
right.
Meeting people when they're about to make some big changes. And that's scary. Change is still scary for all of us. You know, even when I left my corporate job, I planned it. I gave lots of notice. I hired the people to replace me. And I still had a major breakdown right when it was too late to do anything different because it was so scary. I wondered if I was going to be a bag lady for the rest of my life. You know, so when people are at the place of big change, it's natural to be looking for someone to hold them, to someone to help them make that leap, someone who's done it before, who can maybe provide a bit of a map, a bit of a guideline, and assist. A lot of my work is about holding space for people.
Let me ask you a couple of key questions now about what you
do. Sure.
Okay?
Yes.
Because I want to get to this before we run out of time.
Yes.
You help people
now. Thank you
now.
For keeping me on track.
I need to do this because I know that you help clients. You help, and amazingly, as you have put it, you help a lot of people from the world of business who, you know, business executives who've decided that that's not a Peggy Lee song. Is that all there is? You know, being a business executive, they're finding that they're really not getting everything out of life they want. They want to do something more, have more meaning in their life. And they're coming
right.
to you for help. So how do you help people? Why do they come to you? Do they know anything about shamanism? And if you tell them that you are, you're a transformational energy weaver, do they look at you kind of strange? First off, have you changed? Are you a different person now than when you were in the corporate arena, do you think?
Yes, I think the core of us, the essence of us is the same, but definitely how I am in the world and how I appear to people is much different. And it's been changing and it keeps changing. And, you know, there's a expression, who we are, we're stepping into who we are becoming, and every day that's kind of new. So especially when I am embracing a path of transformation for myself and for the people I work with, it means that I'm constantly changing. I'm growing and expanding and morphing and shape-shifting. And so the people who come to me are increasingly now coming from, they're usually business owners and people who've had been in management teams and stuff like that. That's kind of new. That's been in the last few months. Before that, it tended to be artists because that was my sphere of people. But I am listed as a practitioner on the Four Winds site, so that's where a lot of my new clients come from. And they are responding. Obviously, they've gone to the Four Winds site, so they have checked out some of the pages and probably have either some personal experience with energy work, or they're new to it, but they're drawn to it in that way that I was drawn to it. I didn't know what a shaman was when I went to shaman school. I had never been to one and felt very, very vulnerable in stepping into something that felt really quite scary at first and yet irresistible at the same time. So I kind of see that in the people that come to me sometimes, which I think is the way it goes. We learn over time that everything that we've done is part of how we got where we're going, and it's all useful. It's kind of the idea of using everything. So when I left corporate marketing, I thought I was walking away from that and closing a door, and it was firmly shut. So, but really, it's all of the gifts and the strength and the learning that I got in that arena helps support me in this one. So that's where I come to the term weaving. For me, I feel like I'm weaving my worlds together in one unified path. And simultaneously, the people who come to me are looking for something similar. They want something new, but they don't necessarily want to lose everything. They want to use everything. They want their worlds
sure.
to come together. And
sure.
so that's why I play with the word weaving and transformation and expansion. Those are the kind of cornerstones of the work as I see it today.
Are you happy in your life now with what you're doing?
Oh, I love my life. It's a juicy, creative, always changing, crazy sometimes. Oh, you know, there's still dysfunction, still shows up. It's not a
yeah.
it's not a guarantee for, you know, I'm looking for peace and harmony all the time. And I have lots of peace and lots of harmony, and I still have lots of dysfunction, and I still have lots of that, but I can deal with it better, and it doesn't throw me over as much as it used to at one time. I have tools.
Did your making this big change in your life have any impact on your husband, for example? Did you bring him along with you or not?
Absolutely.
He's not a shaman, is he?
No, he's not, although sometimes
okay.
I think he's a closet one. But no, he's not. And he was he's always been, bless him and bless him in my life, he's always been very supportive of what I do, even when it totally baffles him. And it's like, you know, I would, even when I went to art school, I mean, art gets you looking at all your stuff too. And, excuse me, there were lots of times that I would come home from either an art journey adventure or a shamanistic kind of one in tears. And, you know, my husband's name is Doug as well, which is kind of ironic, but he would kind of look at me bewildered and say, but you're having fun, right? Because it didn't always look like it was fun. But
right.
Yes, he can't help but be changed by it, because I don't think he'd be able to stay in the relationship if
okay.
he didn't come along for the ride on some level.
All right. Now, you have your practice, your company or your practice is called Open Heart Healing.
Yes,
what do you mean
is.
By that? What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, the path of when I got into making art and when I got into, I started out as a social worker, so heart was always a big, and I'm basically a flower child from the 60s kind of thing. I was all about peace and love and all of that. And then I got in the corporate
okay.
world, and I thought that that was shut down a little bit. And I did, I think I did close my heart for a while after my daughter died. I was wounded and held in. And so I wanted to keep that part of me separate from the business world. But of course, it never stayed separate from the business world. In fact, when I was hired as a consultant, business consultant later, it was for my heart as much as it was for my business skills. But when I came around to art and back into the healing work, I really consciously embraced having an open heart and realized that that was the path. And so when I named my company, I wanted to have that up front and center. Open heart. Everything comes from that open heart.
Good
from
enough.
That space
Very
of love.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about how you help people. First off, for everybody listening, I want you to know that Janet, we're talking with Janet Stanley, by the way. She's based in Ontario, Canada. She has a wonderful website with a lot of information on it, lots of pictures of her paintings and of Janet. And the website is simply janetstanley.ca. The CA, of course, is for Canada. janetstanley.ca. You got a good website. You know, you're lucky. Anyway, bottom line is, when people come to you, do you work with them? Is it in person? Do you work with them on the telephone? How? How's the best
Sure.
way that you work with others?
Okay, so right in the beginning, I worked with people one-on-one in my healing space in my home, and
Right.
that was my practice for many years. And then I started doing more distance work by phone, because you work at an energetic level, so you actually don't need to be in person at all. Now most of my work is by phone, by Skype or phone, because it's coming from people off of the Four Winds site who are usually in the States or other places in Canada. I still do some one-on-one work and probably always will, but the bulk of it is now by in person. And I'm just now getting ready to start offering some online coaching programs. So in the energy work that I do, there's always been the healing at the energetic level in the field through the chakra system, but there's also always been a part of it that's been about coaching. And so that coaching part of my business is starting to grow as well.
Okay.
Which will still draw on all of the tools.
Mm-hmm. Good enough. I want to get into how you help people. I mean, when they come to you, what happened? I assume you have sessions, you know, like an hour session with somebody or 45 minutes,
right,
whatever it might be. Do you work with people on a continuing basis, or is generally one session enough? How do you find
it? You
know
what? For me, everybody's different. And lots of my friends who are energy medicine people work with people like monthly or weekly or over time. For me, most of my clients come in when they're at a pivotal place, and I don't see them again for months or maybe even a year. So they come in when they're at these milestone places. That's how it works for me. That may shift in time, but that's the way it's been for me.
And give
so
me
it's
an
a lot
example.
Of new people.
Give me an example of someone who's come to you, some business executive, as I pointed out, who wants more out of life. And what's that first session like? What are your first steps that you take with a client? We only have a couple of minutes left, so we'll have to be quick, okay?
So, sure. You can tell that's hard for me. I'm a bit long-winded.
Sorry.
Chatty Annie, as my husband would say. Okay, so for me, always we check into the energy field. I use a number of things like tarot cards and pendulums, and I also do a meditation to get a feel for what is being said. The person will talk to me about what they think is up, and then I'll check in energetically as well. So we use that as clues to guide. I always start by opening sacred space and inviting in all of the guides of the person I'm working with and mine and the lineage that I work with. And then we work in the energy field. Usually the first one always starts with the chakra system. And there's usually one chakra that's really quite blocked or not being able to take in universal energy easily. So we work to clear that. And I use healing stones that were gifted to me through my training. And a number of other things, rattles, drums, whatever, sage, smudge, all kinds of. There's lots of tools. You don't have to use any of them, or you can use all of them. It's just whatever feels right in the moment. And the person will usually have some awareness about what's going through their field. And we use a breath system to breathe it in and out. And it takes the actual energy work takes about half an hour to an hour at the most. The talking part can take a bit longer before and after. And then we close with some suggestions about how to hold the energy that's been achieved and cleared today. And so people are always welcome to check in the next day or within the next few days to see how it's going. With energy work, we say that the work begins when you book it. So when people call in, I usually spend about 20 minutes or half an hour talking to them about, you know, where they're at and what they can expect, and then also ask them to really notice what comes up for them between the time they book and the time they show up. And oftentimes, there is a dream.
I have to tell you something. We're slowly running out of time here. Almost sounds like you're speaking a different language to a degree. There's so much in this. I really would encourage everybody to go to your website. Go to Janet's website. You may want to contact her direct. You can learn how to do that from her website, because there is so much. I mean, Janet, I could talk to you another hour, and we wouldn't cover everything here. But we have really wet the surface here. I'm amazed that it sounds so intriguing and interesting. Again, Janet's website is janetstanley.ca for Canada, because Janet is in Ontario, Canada. But, Janet, thank you for letting me orient, you know, get into this. You're going to be back next week, same time, on Wednesday, October 5th, and you'll continue this with Jim Masters and explore more of your world as an energy medicine practitioner, okay?
All right. Thank you, Doug.
J- Janet, thank you very, very much. This has been really amazing, and I really thank you. Folks, I hope you learned something and are intrigued enough to go to our website and to listen to the show next week. There's much more here than meets the eye. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, and see you next time right here on Close Up Talk Radio, everybody, where we have some of the most amazing guests on radio anywhere. Bye for now. Have a great day.